now to join us. 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Indeed, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. How great is this? Listen to this. Rick, I'm 14. I dread school because I have to miss your show. Well, that's a good reason to dread school. You should also dread school because they're simply filling your brain full of mindless garbage and breaking your will and turning you into a slave of the corporate state, Chris. But, you know, but also dreading it because of the show, that's fun too. I can listen today because it's teacher planning day. Don't you love that teacher? Man, are there any sweeter words? Teacher workshop day, also snow day. Teacher workshop day, you don't have to make up, though. That's the thing. They don't take that out of your ass at the end of the year. I always listen when I can, and listen to this. I even fake sick to hear it. Now, regrettably, he spells hear it H-E-R-E. So, you might...
You probably shouldn't be skipping that much school.
You might want to cut back by like a third the number of days you're skipping. But, you know. I try to spread the word, but for some reason, the kids aren't here. Kids aren't into talk radio these days. He's even talking like, the kids... For some reason, Rick, the kids aren't into talk radio these days, which I can't understand. Sincerely, Chris. Excellent. Well, Chris, look at it this way. Just by dint of being a talk radio listener, you're smarter than they are, and someday they'll be shining your shoes, okay? I know you might not be able to see it now, because you're what, 14? Yeah, 14. 14 and cutting class to listen to talk radio. You may be a social butterfly. I'm guessing you're not. And I don't mean that in a cruel way. I was as geeky as they come. Still am. Still completely geeky. Look around. You know, Tim, Matt, we're all geeks here, Chris. But someday, my friend, you'll be part of a cabal that runs the world. And all the people who don't talk to you now, they'll be fetching limos for you. You know? So you just keep listening. Learn to spell, though, because that reflects badly on you. But I thank you for listening. All right, that's Chris. It's, seriously, I'll tell you this right now. I'm not telling you to go to school. Lord knows I wouldn't. But I'm just saying, you got to learn correct spelling and grammar. It makes you look like a tool otherwise. People judge you by the words you use. The words you use tell people about your background, your education, even your intelligence.
I wonder if anybody else got that.
Well, it's been running. They've been running that same commercial with the same copy for like... They were running it when I was in...
Stress and anxiety?
They were running that copy when I was in the Spokane, and that was... 13 years ago, and they've been running that same commercial with the same copy about learning the, learning to speak better. All right, anyway, what are we doing? Okay, we're going to get Terry into, this is a great call, and Terry here is talking about something that I actually was going to talk about anyway, so in just a moment, we're going to get Terry in Portland. Later on, we got the CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop on the Oscars. This, however, is Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
And now, it's not just news, it's news with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
A Texas minister is compiling a list of all the porn store customers in his town before contacting them and sending them to attend church. Pastor Jim Norwood of the Oak Ridge Family Center says he photographs customers' cars outside the XXX store at Kennedale, Texas, and sends them a picture with a note. The note, which includes a timetable of church services and classes on sex addiction, reads, "Observed you in the neighborhood. Don't you think you're aware that there's a church in the area? Please stop by next time. We'd love to have you visit."
You know, I wish somebody would do that with... I mean, it's like if they could just, you know, flag somebody as a, you know, a constant porn... You know, then maybe you could get a discount or something, you know? All the porn I consume, no one gives me a discount. Well, you know, Autumn gives us free stuff occasionally. But I'm just saying. You know, some sort of a frequent porn viewer discount or some sort of a plan where you get something off after a while.
The government has proposed a $755,000 fine against Clear Channel for a sexually explicit radio show that aired on four stations. During an interview with performers of Puppetry for the Penis, who wore capes and nothing else, one of the actors exposed himself. The FCC said the station should have expected such a display and could have occurred and should have taken steps to prevent it. Imagine that.
What show was it?
It's Bubba the Love Sponge.
Oh, yeah, that's that guy out of Florida. They weren't nude here because Fisher told us we couldn't do it. Fisher Broadcasting, which is a fine company, but not tremendously liberal on some issues.
Oh, we saw them nude later, though.
Yeah, no, they flat out told when the Puppetry the Penis guys were here because they'd been on KNRK. like that morning, I think, which we were not owned by Entercom yet. And KNRK, Full On had them waving their genitals around, you know, which is good. But like Fisher, like, flat out told us, like, no. Well, can I just, no. What if they just, no. And they just didn't give us any leeway at all there.
They don't even let us shoot guns. Remember the gun fest?
No, they don't. Everybody keeps asking, we're going to do the Tim Riley gun fest again. And there's, you post 3,000 people dying in a fiery inferno in New York. There does seem to be an increased reticence towards letting us go and shoot automatic weapons off in the desert. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Barbara Streisand's husband, actor James Brolin, tells Access Hollywood she is reading a script for a possible role in Meet the Fockers, F-O-C-K-E-R-S, a sequel to the 2000 hit Meet the Parents. Publicist says nothing has been decided about the part. A Malaysian man was shaken and scalded after his mobile phone exploded beside him while he was sleeping. He said he was recharging the cell phone, placed it on the bed near him when he took a nap. 3 hours later, he was jarred awake by what he described as a small explosion. The explosion scalded my buttocks, and there were burn marks on the mattress in the wall. At first, I was confused about what had exploded. Then I realized my mobile phone had been shattered to pieces. He received treatment for the injury at a hospital and has filed a police report concerning the incident. Thanks, Daniels. When it happens, I am Tim Riley.
All right, we're going to get to Terry here, but I got to read this. Rick, did you see that great clip of Joe Lieberman on CNN, and Wolf Blitzer asked something like, do you really have a chance? And then Joe Lieberman said, quote, keep in mind, we're not making this up, by the way. Joe Lieberman told Wolf Blitzer, quote, things are going great. The Joe-mentum is just starting to kick in. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Oh, damn, I love this country. All right, let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, a full-time listener in Portland. Terry, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, Ray?
What you got, brother?
Well, I was down over at Union Pacific.
Yes.
And across this EMP trailer said F-U Matt.
No.
Oh yeah.
The trailer, like what kind of a trailer was it?
It's a 53-foot container that's stuck on a chassis.
Uh-huh.
And they blotted out the F word, but you knew what it said.
But it clearly was F-U Matt.
Uh-huh.
That's genius. That's what the people are taking. This is like that movie, Turk 182. The people are taking this to the streets because, I don't know if you heard us say this yesterday, but if you pick up the current issue of the Portland Tribune, on page D5, there's an editorial cartoon, you know, they always have, and the editorial cartoonist slipped in an F mat. There's a lot of people in the cartoon, and over on the left, the guy in the further leftmost corner, whatever, over on the left, it says there's a guy wearing a shirt that said F mat, and now you've seen one on a trailer.
Uh-huh.
How great is that? That's the best.
And I don't even know where this trailer has been. I don't know who has dealt with it or anything. I know is it's probably gone cross-country and advertising. F-Mat.
It's so brilliant. It's too bad that, I don't know, it's probably not still there. It's too bad we couldn't get a picture of it or something. I have some wall. We should have a gigantic gallery, like an F-Mat gallery, a wall of F-Mats.
Uh-huh.
That's, I'm writing that down. Okay, so, and that was at the...
UP, which is Union Pacific on Interstate, and it's sitting there right now. And if you want to send off one of your interns to go take a picture of it.
Excellent. We may, in fact, do that. We had to start a whole gallery of F-Mat things. I'd be a big fan of that. Excellent, brother. Will you spread the word? Thank you for tipping us off to that.
Oh, definitely.
All right.
Actually, there's quite a few people that work at the same company that I do that do listen to you in the afternoon.
Right on. Will you spread the word? Thank you for spreading the word in the past. Do it in the future. You call us anytime.
All right.
All right. There you go. That's Terry in Portland. Well done. Well done, whoever wrote that. You know what it is like? This is like I was driving along one on Sunday. Laura and I are driving, this car goes by me, and it's got on the bumper. It wasn't like a bumper sticker, but a guy had drawn it with, like, orange, not chalk, but, you know, like, orange fluorescent sticker or some, you know, marker. And it said, you know, is it Flash Friday yet? And you see kind of that stuff, you know, the sort of guerrilla advertising. But so that makes two. That's two of them inside of 1 week. We got the F-Mat and the Tribune, which is just completely great. And then we got this Terry guy seeing it on the... We got a whole thing. In fact, because we've got the whole closet full of stuff up front, not just the sea monkeys, which were created by a Nazi. We've got the Star Trek Shadows of the not Shadows of the Empire. We got the Star Trek Klingon Honor Guard. We got a whole case full of books from the Onion. Some of you old school listeners remember back when we had the Onion news desk with Doyle Redland. They sent us a whole case of books, like the Onion Presents Our Dumb Century and the you know, whatever, news from the 10th Circle or whatever that is. We got a whole crate of books from The Onion. We had to do like a weekly, how would we do that? We get something like the most creative placement of an F mat. But it's like I think we'd have to see it or see evidence of it. Like we'd either have to witness it, you know, like we'd have to see it in the place, or we would have to, like see a picture of it or something. You know, if we saw an F mat placed somewhere, you know, like I don't know where people would put it. Like for example, like this one. I mean, not everybody is the editorial cartoonist for the Portland Tribune, granted. But there's this business. This guy has the F mat of the Tribune this week. Another guy sees it on a trailer somewhere, you know, where it's viewed by scores of people. I mean, I don't know where else it would go. I mean, I'm not trying to encourage that, you know, that you deface anything. That would, of course, be, that would be wrong. And in no way...
Don't make a banner and hang it from an overpass on I-5.
No, in no way do I want to endorse that you place this... You know, anywhere where it might be considered to be an eyesore. I'm not telling you to put it on any sort of a fixed, permanent surface. Something I can't tell you to do. It's not a thing I'm advocating. I will not come to bail you out, by the way. And don't call us from jail, you know, because you're busy taking boric acid and putting it onto, like, the side of the Max or something. That's not going to... what do they call it? New York Scratch-Eaty. You're busy sandblasting it onto a TriMet window. That's not a thing we're going to come get you out of the hoosegow for. So we'll do that. What is today? Tuesday? Today's Tuesday, right? Okay. Tuesday, so we got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'll tell you what. We'll start it today, right now. 1:14 on Tuesday. We're going to start it. What we'll do is every Friday, we'll start it this Friday. We'll see what kind of response we get. Each week... you let us know either we've got to see it or it's got to be photographed or captured, however it is that it happens. And we've got to see it. We've got to see evidence of it. But the best placement, somewhere where the public, you know, hears it or sees it, the best placement of an F-mat each week, we'll go ahead and kick swag your way on Friday. So, you know, you have all week to sort of do it, submit it to us, get it in, submit the evidence, and then on Friday...
We've got some good swag, too. I mean,
we got a whole closet full of stuff we've never given away. Well, I got a bunch of Plantronics headsets, too.
So we've got CD Game Exchange gift certificates.
That's
left.
Right. That's right.
We've got a bunch of good stuff that we could give out if somebody's creative.
Yeah, we got 50 buck gift certificates at CD Game Exchange. We got the Klingon Honor Guard game. We've got the Onion books. We've got cell phone and home phone headsets from Plantronics, including the CS50, the wireless model, because life takes both hands, Plantronics.com. We got all that stuff. So, yeah. So we'll start that right now. Go forth and do likewise. I'm doing that. Best placement of an F-mat. And again, you don't have to wait till you submit it whenever it's done. Whenever it's out there, you submit it to us however you want to submit it to us. And then on Friday, we will review them all and we will pick a winner. We'll post them on the website. We'll do a gallery. We'll do an F-mat gallery at rickemerson.com. Okay. That is all ye know and all ye need know. The lesson starts today. In Portland, Roger is a first-time caller. Roger, you're on Hot Talk 1080 KFTK. What's up?
Hey, bud, I'll tell you. Your chat has reminded me, probably a year ago, a friend of mine pointed out that on I-5, on the center divider, the green little slats that stick up on the concrete thing that provide, you know, shield the headlights, was a dildo. I don't know if I can say that or not.
Yeah, but just for no reason, just hanging out there?
Yes, and it was hanging out kind of at an angle, and it was over the days and weeks it got dirty and dirtier from the grime and stuff of road, and then one day it was cleaned off and standing straight up.
Who takes time out of their... I mean, I wonder if my tax dollars paid for, like, ODOT or whoever to do that.
I'm sure. There is no other way, because it was at a place where there was no place for someone to, like, get out and take care of this thing in the middle of the night. I mean, do you want to die
cleaning a dildo
on the freeway?
No.
I wanted to get a picture so bad of this thing, and it would just zoom by you, you know, and as I told my friend, it's going to be there until the right person is sitting in traffic and looks over and sees
and then decides that they, but it's got to be, you know, first of all, it's got to be several things. The first has got to see it, they've got to have free time, and they've got to want it gone. But I think anybody who saw that, you're going to get a little chuckle out of it. That's a little bit of local color you're going to leave on the landscape. You
it
know
was
what
a
I mean?
Classic. It was yeah. a classic. We laughed about it for days. So F Matt with a freeway dildo.
This F Matt could be sponsored by your business.
Well done. All right. Excellent. It's like, did you ever see this? Did you ever see, and again, I'm not advocating the defacing of any property anywhere. That's wrong. It's a crime. You shouldn't do it. I'm not advocating it, condoning it, promoting it, endorsing it, or encouraging it in any way. But I will say this. Did you ever see that graffiti, especially the really, because, you know, there's graffiti where some guy just writes, you know, like, ass in big letters or whatever. And then there's graffiti that, like, you've got, well, you've got to give it up for the fact that they got all the way up to, like, some place where you and I would never cross. Like, there's that huge, on Hawthorne. There's that place on Hawthorne, I forget where it is, it's above that, it's by the Bread and Ink Cafe, I think, or no, Cup and Saucer, I think, it's by there, and there's that huge Andre the Giant Obey, and you know that Obey is everywhere, the Andre the Giant Obey thing, that stuff is like, and that was started by a guy in San Diego, who's just a street artist, but that stuff has swept the entire world, but there's a huge one on the side of a building, on up like a brick wall on Hawthorne, there's the giant Andre, and then it says Obey underneath it, and I, you know, that's some guy just put that up there. I mean, you got to give it up for that. That's, you know, let's just call it what it is. That's pretty cool. And you and I both know this too. You know that you've driven down the street and you've seen tagging or sort of in-depth graffiti done in some place that is just like perilous to get to. That really took some doing, some intestine. It took some guts. It took sack to get up there and do it. You've seen graffiti where you kind of felt inside like, whoa, give it up to that guy for getting that graffiti way up there. You know. Like a place that you and I would never go. You give me $100, you know. You give me $1,000. There's buildings I wouldn't crawl to the top of and dangle from. But there's guys that go there just to represent, you know, like Paco, you know, or whatever, like multicolored script, you know, or something. You've got to give it up for that. So I'm not advocating that you do that, but stick it to the man. Do it. All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. Should we do this here or on the other side?
We can do it here. We'll push the break.
All right, okay. So let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Our man in Los Angeles, the City of Angels, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. What's up, brother?
Ooh, I'm fine. How are you?
My friend, I'm rolling here. I'm looking at the... that's a lie. I'm not looking at it because I don't have it in front of me. I'm lying right there. I'm in my head looking at the Oscar list, the nomination list, which came out today.
Now, I got to tell you something. I finally liked a list of nominees.
Well, because what? Because it's like just everything went to Lord of the Rings, right?
Well, not only that, but just so much different stuff in here.
Yeah. So what are the, anything surprising this year?
Yeah, Lost in Translation surprises me.
Well, that's, I haven't seen it, but I mean, I understand it's stunning. And of course, Bill Murray,
yeah,
you gotta give it a
go. It's a comedy, and the Academy rarely looks at comedies at all. I mean, it's gonna be tough to win both those categories, best actor and best actor for Bill Murray, because the Academy usually doesn't award stuff to comedies, but
right.
Man, just the fact that it's in here. And Sofia Coppola, this is her second film, for Christ's sake. I know she's got the last name, Coppola.
Yeah.
But there has to be some merit there, or it wouldn't be nominated in the Best Director and Best Screenplay.
Well, it's gotten stunning reviews. Her last film, you know, which was her first one, her first film, Virgin Suicides, was very good, and I hear this is even better. And you got to think that growing up with Francis Ford Coppola around, you know, that's got to, you know, that's got to rub off on you somehow.
It
you know?
Rub off acting-wise for her.
No, it clearly did not. As anybody who's seen Godfather 3 knows.
Oh, God. But you know, apparently the inner workings of how things work certainly rubbed off on her.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. So it was a Lost in Translation, 11 of them for Lord of the Rings. Is that that's not a record, is it?
You know, I think it is.
Because I know that the two biggest before that were Titanic and Ben-Hur.
Yeah, I think they got 9 each, didn't they?
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, so there is a potential for a record-setting win by Lord of the Rings.
And plus, I don't think a fantasy film, including Star Wars or E.T., I don't think they've ever won Best Picture.
No, because Star Wars lost to Annie Hall.
Yeah.
And E.T. would have been 1983. I think it lost to Chariots of Fire or some crap.
Yeah, see what I'm saying? This is good. This could be a very cool and a very different and unpredictable Oscar ceremony. Finally, something to keep me awake.
Well, is it because it's always just so goddamn dull? I mean, it's just so terribly
I'm talking about.
Freaking dull.
And I'm glad Russell Crowe wasn't nominated for Best Actor and Nicole Kidman wasn't nominated for Best Actress. You know, I'm sick and tired of seeing those guys.
Yeah, well, that's that Russell Crowe was saying that, you know, that master and servant or whatever the hell was, master of my domain.
Master and commander.
Whatever. It just sounds like some bad, World War II role-playing game. You know, it's just a thing I don't even...
It has 10 nominations.
Yeah, I've got the, it's just not a thing. You're never going to get me to see that. I kind of draw the... To me, there's two types of films. There's sort of before Braveheart and after Braveheart. And after Braveheart, I think it's kind of been done as well as it could be done, and it's going to take a lot of effort to get me there to see a movie like that, you know, about a heroic guy leads his troops and the blah, blah, blah. So.
Yeah, it's a good rental.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, the
only competition Return of the King has is Mystic River.
Yeah, well, which is, I know that Clint Eastwood's getting a lot of praise for that, but he's already gotten a lot of stuff, too. He got, Unforgiven, you know, he got a lot of praise for, so it's... The thing about it is, they've already rewarded Eastwood, which is not to say he doesn't deserve it. I haven't seen it, but it's not to say he doesn't deserve it. But this is their last chance to give something to Lord of the Rings, you know, because they missed the first two opportunities, thinking I think that they would take care of it this year. And you got, I mean, if for no other reason, Jackson, you talk about a guy who risked everything. Not only of his, he not only risked his career, but he risked the fate of that movie studio.
Oh yeah.
And that guy took more chances. I mean, it is not an overstatement to say that he took the biggest risk of any director probably in history making that film.
Oh, I completely agree. And, you know, I was talking to him this morning about the fact that they got a lot of nominations, but not really any acting nominations. And he says, well, you know, perhaps, you know, they played hobbits and wizards and no one took them seriously. But then you take a look at Sean Astin's performance, it brought people to tears in that theater.
Wait, let me understand this. So I was going to get to that next. You're telling me Sean Astin did not get nominated?
No.
I must have missed that earlier when we were... Earlier we were reading the list of nominees, and I think my brain just mentally inserted it there because it seemed so obvious.
No, I can swear
to God that I... Well, that doesn't make any sense. What is this world coming to?
I don't know, buddy.
Maybe
because of his mom's Patty Duke, they thought, no, this guy can't.
And his dad's John Astin. How great is that?
Yeah.
Gomez Adams.
No, Alec Baldwin, Benicio Del Toro... Somebody with a weird name, and then Tim Robbins and Ken Watanabe are nominated in the supporting role category.
Now I'm just depressed. Well, all right, I'll get over it, I suppose.
There you go. But, you know, Peter Jackson should get director, and that film should get the best film.
That's what I'm saying. If Lord of the Rings doesn't get the, you know, if it doesn't clean house this year, I'm just washing my hands of the whole sorry business. You know what I mean?
It's got a chance, man. This field of nominees, for the first time, is there some dark films in it? That's unlike the Academy. Yep. Look at this 13-year-old Keisha Castle Hughes.
Whale Rider.
From that film, Whale Rider. Yep. Not only is it her first nomination, but it's a Best Actress nomination. She's the youngest performer ever to get a Best Actress nomination. So, I mean, anything can happen this year.
All right. I'm all over it. All right. That's CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop in Los Angeles. All right. We're going to come back. We got more, including Greg and your phone calls as well. It kind of goes without saying at this point that I've got all this stuff we haven't gotten to yet. So I'm just going to let you do that whole little monologue in your head, and then we'll do it when we get back. It's 503. Just insert speech now. 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. It's kind of just like a macro, you know? You can just hit F1, and you can just do that whole little speech inside your own brain. Yeah, it's a desktop shortcut. Double-clicking speech about how I'm way behind. All right, we'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay there.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Dara Dillon has the traffic.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon, it's 1:32. Tim Riley with news, brought to you by Heritage for the Blind. Don't sell or trade your car. Donate it to Heritage for the Blind for a tax deduction. Call 1-800-2-DONATE. That's 1-800-2-DONATE. Well, we spoke about this a little bit earlier. In 50 First Dates, Lucy Drew Barrymore falls in love with Henry Adam Sandler over and over again due to short memory loss. Drew said she entertained the idea of being a dramatic, depressed person, but discovered it was no fun at all.
I always wanted to be one of those really dramatic people that, like, was in bed for 3 weeks and couldn't get out and had to have all my friends come and rescue me and, like, do, like, an intervention. Like, we're so worried about you, you know? And I can't. I can't even last, like, an hour in bed in the morning. I have to get out no matter how much I'd love that to be true. I just, like, have to get out there and live.
Drew, how do you make it in Hollywood without being cynical?
I just laugh at people who are falling prey to shortening their lifespan by being unhappy. And I think if you have to fall prey to that, then I can learn from you because you seem so unhappy, and I just don't want to do that to myself. And if you care about the people enough, then you should try to, like, show them another way to be or to feel so that they don't let their life go by unhappy, you know? Some people you just can't help, but... and you just have to give up, but I think it's worth trying with them.
That's a beautiful thought, Drew. Bitly First Dates opens February 13th. Rain this afternoon, tonight, and tomorrow. Tim Bradley, KOTK News.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. Lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Apparently that midnight vote, you know, because they do that weird thing in New Hampshire where there's like 12 people or something that vote at midnight. Apparently that went to Wesley Clark. Excellent. I dig that guy. I mean, I dug him kind of before Michael Moore endorsed him, but I mean, that goes a long way with me. All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Coming up, we've got... I'm not even going to... You know, the thing is, I should just quit listing it. Like, I should even quit saying what's coming up, because... We've got this. Rick, after seeing Sarah live and in the flesh at Saturday Night's Bigger Than Jesus show, I would wholeheartedly support her taking to the pole, so to speak. I also agree that many would put up dollars for photos of her en flagrante, which is colloquially known to be nude.
Well, I'm excited for whatever girl he's talking about, because I wasn't there Saturday night.
Okay. So I get, well, that is true. Who is he talking about? Well, whatever. I guess my vote is yes for more Sarah nudity. Thank you. P.S. F. Matt with my unrequited love for Sarah.
This F. Matt could be sponsored by your business.
Well done. Let's get Greg, a full-time listener, on the cell phone. Greg, what's up, man?
I'll hit the beautiful Sarah. Yes, we want nudity. Hey, I'm driving through Skeptus, and I see not one, but two Rick Emerson bumper stickers. One was on a gold BMW. The other one's on a red Jeep. Does everyone have one but me?
It's because we're covering every demographic, my friend. This is my place, and those are my people.
And I already have F. Matt scratched into the back on my lift gate of my truck. You know, by the end of this week, there's going to be 1,000 delivery trucks running around town all saying F. Matt.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like we got, you know, we have that. We might as well exploit it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. Hey, I'm all for exploitation. And I just, you know, I'm a little bit concerned or upset with you because talking to other drivers on the next cell,
yeah.
How do I start talking to them? I'm delivering to Cosmopolis. So I'm talking to another driver like this. I go to talk to a customer. Please sign here on the dotted line.
Excellent.
And I realize that I just look like the world's biggest dork.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Well, why should I be alone there? If I'm going to be a dork, y'all are going down with me, my friend. I'm not going to sit here and wallow in my geekiness, you know, alone.
Excellent. Well, F. Matt with a dirty lifting truck.
This F. Matt could be sponsored by your business.
Yeah, it's not the Fortress of Solitude. I'm not going to sit here and be alone in my dorkdom. Well, it's not as bad as I... Someone who shall remain nameless, though, who has a child, and the child is, I don't know, 6 or 7 years old, and the child has started ending all of her sentences with, I'm just saying, which is, come on, you got to love... See, it's like, why do I even need to have kids? I can just corrupt yours, you know what I mean? All right, let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. We talked to her yesterday, and it's been, I don't know what, God damn, like a year? Year and a half or something since you were in the studio?
Yeah.
Our good friend Therese, who is, some of you old school listeners, you may remember Therese, when Christina Carlson, who was our former producer, left, which was in December of 2002, before Sarah had the job, because Sarah was gone. Sarah picked like the worst 2 weeks to be gone. You were like in Bremerton or some crap.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we were auditioning for... We were looking for hot chicks to come in and audition for the job of producer. And we got several who came in, and one of them was this woman, Therese, who came in, who I was immediately, like, a big fan of. I was just immediately the president, also treasurer of the Therese fan club.
That's nice.
And then we found out you wanted, like, to be paid and, you know, like, He wanted an actual salary and, quote, respect in the workplace, and so it became clear that that wasn't going to work.
I needed a salary that would pay me more than just a day at Taco Bell or something.
And see, and Sarah's a college student. She didn't know any better. So that's the great part. Right out of, and she didn't know any better, and she had school debts to pay. So it's like she was willing to take whatever we offered. So, you know.
And
so,
I'm still here.
And she had, you know, had obviously a very diminished sense of self-respect and worth. So she's here and working out very well.
She's very cute, by the way.
No, she is, Sarah.
She's an adorable young lady.
Thank you, and so are you.
Thanks.
The various pole-swinging enthusiasts of the Rick Emerson Show seem to agree with you on that count. No, she's adorable, but you're no slouch yourself. So,
thanks.
I was, I was to understand that you would be wearing those stockings with the line up the back today.
Yeah, I didn't have those on hand.
Yeah.
And
so, but we hadn't heard of you. Just kind of vanished after you, because I know you ended up taking a job somewhere else, and then you just called in out of the blue yesterday for the.
Well, you were talking about how you had lost track of so many different people and where all they went, and so I thought I better call them and tell them I'm unemployed again and
so,
looking for work.
See, that's fate's way of telling you that you should have taken the opportunity that the good Lord Rick dangled in front of you. So, I'll tell you what, we're going to do is let's do this. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll do today's How Chicks Think segment.
Do I get to look at it ahead of time?
What? Oh, the question.
The content.
I thought you were talking about something else.
Well.
We're just going to do this, and we'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere.
Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Sarah Dillon has this. The traffic. Can I just tell you this? Have you seen the splash page at rickemerson.com?
No, I haven't.
Unless,
it's the greatest.
Yeah, so if anybody, if you haven't checked it out, go to rickemerson.com and take a gander at the splash page there, courtesy of Joni DeRoshi. Some good stuff. Here's Sarah with the traffic.
Got an opinion? Email Rick Emerson day or night at rick@rickemerson.com. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. By the way, the latest in New Hampshire says that, according to the polls, Clark Edwards and Lieberman are tight for third. Imagine how depressing it must be to be tied with Joe Lieberman for something. I mean, how sad. I mean, at least you could... Oh, never mind. By the way, before we do the How Chicks Think with our good friend Therese, you're wearing a very fetching ensemble anyway, as the French would say. It's
pink.
Yeah, it's pink and wonderful.
Thank you.
Not unlike yourself, I'm sure.
You did not just go there.
Was that out loud?
Yes. It was just a thought that slipped out.
Sometimes there's these things in my head, and I can't tell whether I've said them or just thought them.
That's all right. I forgive you.
Moving on, we've got this from Rob. Oh, this is an email from the guy who drew the cartoon in the Tribune, the editorial where he said the F-Mat. Rick, you ass. Does this mean that I, the placer of the F-Mat Tribune cartoon, cannot count first charter placement towards the competition? Clearly, I was last week's winner. Yes, my first name is Rob, by the way. Seriously, though, thanks for the ranting and raving about the cartoon. Even though I listened all day yesterday, I must have been on the can when you talked about it. Got a dozen emails from friends telling me you were covering it. Awesome. Again, thanks, Rob. Yeah, so, I don't know. Here's the thing. We could slide Rob. If we slide you swag, it's just going to be because you're our pal and you put the F-Mat thing in. Because the Tribune's never going to be nice to us anyway because they're owned by the company that owns whatever. What's that high school station that they own? KPAM?
Mm-hmm.
It's like some public access station or something that's owned by them. So they're never going to be nice to us, you know, regardless or irregardless, as they say here in the Northwest. So we'll go ahead and slide you a little something just because we take care of our friends here.
Is irregardless really a word?
It's real. Only if you're from Portland, you know. I mean, people in Oregon say irregardless constantly, which is, you know, it's one of those things that isn't a word, but it's sort of gradually becoming accepted as a word because we're just in a Because we're a country that continues to lower our standards about everything. Anyway, moving on. We've coming up later on, by the way, we got Clyde Lewis is going to be here to blatantly hit on Therese in front of all of us. Let's roll it. It's another exciting edition of How Chicks Think. We even talked about Dennis Miller last night. We'll get to that. It says question for Jolie. Jolie is incommunicado. Of course, she's in Egypt. So we'll give this to Therese and then whoever else wants to pitch in. Rick, fat truck driver here. That's a good way to start any email. That's nothing woos the women like being a corpulent guy behind the cab of a Kenworth. Rick, fat truck driver here. My wife of 23 years recently passed away right before Thanksgiving. My question is, how long is a respectable time in a woman's mind before I start dating again? And is it weird if I ask out my wife's friend, listening every day? Be gentle with me. I am still emotionally unstable. Be sure to mention that when you're out there on the dating scene. All right, anyway, so wife of 23 years died right before Thanksgiving. How long can he wait before women are going to think it's weird that he's dating, and can he ask out her friend? Therese?
I think the friend is a no.
Yeah, you can't
that's
ever do
ookie.
That. Only you can. Here's, and even I know this. Okay, if your wife dies, first of all, I don't mean to be... Oh, yes, of course I do. I'm just going to say what we're all thinking. You get huge sympathy points for the dead wife, okay?
Yes.
We all know that this is true. Your wife dies, you are in like Flynn with any number of women out there. Dead wife or a dead mom. Man, if your mom dies, it's all, you know, it's sad and whatnot. But if your mom dies, baby, you are in with probably the next few women you meet.
Yeah, I think that they say that you should grieve for 6 months, but I think it depends on how great the marriage was. What if they hated each other and she happened to drop dead and he's like, ding dong, the witch is dead?
Well, clearly that's not the case, though.
Oh.
It's obviously not a thing we want to...
I'm not being very sensitive. What if
he pushed her in front of a train? No, I'm not. It's not just that. It's just that men and women. I'm all. They say that, you know, you should. They say that the amount of time it takes to get over a relationship is one third the time that you were in it. But what they don't say is that men and women have different ideas of what constitutes getting over something. Women sit inside and, I don't know, they take bubble baths and they watch Lifetime or something.
And they drink a lot of wine and cry.
Yeah, and guys just go out and get really drunk and shtup a lot of fat waitresses.
I think men need women more than women need men, and I think men get very lonely. And he's been with one woman for 23 years.
Yeah.
And I think he needs a companion.
Not just that he needs it, he deserves it. He's got
yes.
it coming. The Lord has put him through some hard times.
Yes.
You come out on the other side of that, you got to get a little something. You know what I mean?
But don't ask the friend out.
No, but here's the thing. If the friend comes to you, you can totally do it.
Right.
Because she may, you know.
She's opening the door.
That's what I'm saying. If you're there, she comes over, she brings you a casserole or something covered in foil, and she says, you know, hey, fat truck driver guy, so your wife is dead, and here's the key, here's the phrase to be looking for, by the way. This is the code word you want to be listening to. She says, so if you ever need anybody to talk to, you know, that's...
That is code. That is code for I really want you.
That is code for if you ever need someone to have sympathy sex with, you can call me and I'll come over. Am I right?
Is it sympathy sex or is it that she wants to hook up?
It doesn't. Well, he doesn't care.
Permanently.
Doesn't care. He doesn't need to see the math.
He doesn't need to rush into anything either.
He doesn't need to see the math. It doesn't matter why. 23
years with one woman, he needs to sow his wild oats for a while.
That's what... No, I'm not saying...
To be blatant about it, the dead wife thing is going to be a good thing for you for like 6 months to a year.
Dude, it's like Spanish fly.
You're going to be able to work that. So don't jump into a relationship
yes.
with the first
oh, no,
woman.
No. I'm not saying
that. Use that angle for, like, the next 12 months.
No, I'm not saying the jump. No, hell,
yeah,
relationship. Look, if they got married at 20, he's 43 now. No, dude, you got the next 40 years of your life to settle down with somebody. Be one of those octogenarian people you see that are getting married when you...
He already did the marriage thing. He doesn't even need to get married ever again.
That's what I'm saying. You can just, do my mom. It's like my mom. You know, my mom's 60, whatever, going to be 68 this year. My mom, she's got this boyfriend long term. He wants to get married, and she's just not into it.
Why?
She's like, we'll just live together and have hot old person sex or whatever they...
Ugh.
Well, whatever they do, you know. Look, you gotta,
go for the play canasta or something.
Yeah.
Bridge.
No, but he doesn't, it doesn't matter why she wants to, why she wants to sleep with you. If she does, you can just go ahead and go for that. But here's the other thing. Okay, so this guy, the wife, 23 years, she passed away. He wants to get out there in the dating scene. So how long, we figure it's long enough now, but how do you, not to put too fine a point on it, how do you bring it up in conversation without looking like you're... you know, trying to flog your wife's corpse to get laid.
I think if you're meeting up with a woman, let's say you're with your guy friends at a bar watching a game, and there's some women that you guys are kind of talking to, and one that you're interested in, she looks at you and says, are you married? Or she says, or are you dating anybody? And that's when he sneaks it in. No, I'm a widower.
And really? Well, when did that happen? About 6 months ago.
I think it's better to say just before Thanksgiving.
Just before Thanksgiving, because then you're playing the...
I was alone for the holidays.
So, yes, and it's, you know, so the holidays were really kind of tough
for me
this year.
I am completely manipulative, aren't I?
Oh, you poor... It's in the service of a greater good.
Right.
I mean, you're... Oh, and okay, so we've got the guy. This is the guy right here. We're going to get to that. Okay, so we'll...
He's on the phone?
He is. He's
right there.
Well, because he said... I didn't read this part of the email, but he says... I am reachable for comment, and then he says, and then he gives his phone number. So we'll have him on here, and we'll do the top of the hour. We'll come back over the top of the hour. We'll have him on about that. But yeah, you say, if you place it before the holidays, because then she pictures you at home alone drinking all the cooking sherry, the thing about women is it's. Sinead O'Connor said this great thing about Axl Rose one time. She was talking about that back in the 80s, talking about how Axl Rose, because Axl Rose obviously like a guy with a lot of weird, deep childhood issues. And she said the greatest thing. She said, well, you just want to take him home and give him a bowl of soup, you know? And it's like, and that's totally how the female mind operates sometimes, because the bowl of soup leads to the night of shtup. You know what I mean? All right, we'll do this. We'll come back with the guy. Also, more from Therese, at whom I will continue to leer. Your phone calls, Clyde Lewis with News at Ground Zero, the top five. It's all coming up. Stay there. We'll be back.
It's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
What's up?
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
It's 201. I'm Tim Riley. This news brought to you by Standard TV and Appliance. Multnomah County deputy seized about $15,000 worth of methamphetamine at an East Portland house. The meth lab at 2100, a block of Northeast 143rd next to Division. Now, users apparently broke into houses and cars around this house to look for money to pay for the drugs. They finally put an end to it. Four Republicans from Southern Oregon made the cut. The four have been tapped as potential replacements for State Senator Lon Hannon, who stepped down to join the State Parole Board. A man who jumped into the Santa Ym River last night after a police chase might have died of hypothermia. The water, around 45 degrees. The chances of survival after 10 minutes, slim. Rain this afternoon. Highs 45 to 50. Rain tonight, breezy, 2, lows about 40. And tomorrow, rain again. Tim Riley, KOTK News.